I know it's been a difficult few months for you. In October, some of you were here, most of you were here, when Julia died, and now Jim. I wish my words could make the sorrow of death go away. Death always leaves a hole that just can't be filled. My grandpa passed away 20 years ago, and I look at pictures of him. We just did that this last night, looking at old Christmas pictures of my grandfather. And that helps to bring back his memory, but it's always bittersweet. There's joy in remembering, but always at the edge of that, there's pain that he's gone. Nothing can take the place of being with him. And that, I think, is where death leaves us on this side of it. With good memories, but also with loss, and a loss that we can't undo. That's not to say there can be no comfort in death. There is comfort. Much comfort, overflowing, abundant, and held out to you, offered to you by God who made you and who made Jim. The God who took on flesh to undo death and take to himself all that is sorrowful and bear it away. Death, for all its sadness, reveals a truth that, if you will consider it, will lead you through the valley of the shadow. I read polls recently that say that Americans are becoming increasingly irreligious. Fewer and fewer people go to church. But that doesn't mean that Americans have become less spiritual. The longing for meaning, for wholeness, for the satisfaction of the soul, for a life that transcends death, that's universal. As Solomon wrote, God set eternity into the heart of man. And every religion or spiritual path, whatever you try, will offer ways and methods by which you might experience a connection with the divine, self-transformation, or that transcendent kind of life that continues after death. Here's how you live, they will say. Here's what you should eat. Here's what you should wear. Here's how you meditate. Here's how you pray. Sometimes, and maybe some of you have been raised in this way, Christianity is presented similarly. Be like Jesus, and you'll go to heaven. But this is where death serves as our teacher and our instructor. If, with all of the concerted efforts of medical science, with all of our technology, with all the diets and exercise on offer, you can't even save your body from death, why think you can bring life to your soul? In fact, Jesus, the only one who's gone down to death and raised himself up again, says to achieve a life that transcends death, to have peace with God, that's what that is, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is, you must never do or say or even desire anything contrary to God's law that is revealed to us in the Bible. Now you can ask yourself, I invite you to do so. Am I perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect? I'm not. Neither was Jim. Neither are you. Now, God is not surprised by this. He's not shocked. Jesus, who said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," also said, "No one is good but God." No one is good. Now, he doesn't mean that you can't do nice things for people, that you don't give to charity, or you don't bring your neighbor's trash can in on a Friday or whatever day it is. We can all do that kind of stuff. Jesus is referring to that deep inner purity, deep inner cleanliness. No one has that. Now, others may look at me on the outside and they see my flesh, they see the things that I do and say, "Hey, that's a good man." But God sees my heart and he knows better. So, a life of true meaning, a life that transcends death, if that requires, as Jesus says that it does, perfection in the inner being, and yet no one is good, as he says, that's very bad news. I hope that just as you recognize that you cannot escape bodily death, you recognize that before God's throne, there will be no excuse, no defense, no justification. Why would I hope such a thing? Do I want you to feel even worse than you feel now? No. Because if you feel that way, and if you understand that that's true, that means that you are ready to hear what Jesus said to his disciples when they, coming to the very same realization, asked, "Who then can be saved?" Listen to Jesus' answer. "With man, it is impossible. With man or woman, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible." What you cannot do, what I cannot do, what Jim couldn't do, God has done for you. God so loved the world, God so loved you, God so loved Jim that he sent his only son, Jesus of Nazareth, truly man, truly God, to keep the law, to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, both inside and outside, to keep the law in your place, and then to take onto himself every sin. Thought, word, or deed, every sin. He endured death and he endured hell for your sins in your place on the cross. Death and hell. These are the wages of sin. Jesus paid the full wage. And so after he paid the full wage, death lost its grip. Jesus rose again on the third day. And here's a promise. We read it today. Whoever believes in me, I want you to listen to this. Whoever believes in me, Jesus says, though he die, yet shall he live. Jim believed in Jesus. Today, you say goodbye to him, but he now lives a life of which this life is only a dim shadow. And Jesus will return. He'll come again. And when he does, death itself will be undone. He will call Jim's name and everyone who's ever believed in him. And Jim will rise up out of the grave, body and soul made new. I know you're thinking, well, he's been cremated. How is that possible? Well, God has the blueprints. He can do that. Jim will rise up, body and soul, and he will walk again on the grass and under the trees and on the hills in the light of Christ, who redeemed him and who loves him. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No other way will do. Every other way depends on you, your work, your strength. Jesus says, forsake all of that. Forsake yourself and turn to Jesus, who loves you, who's always loved you. He's made his way through the dark veil of death to rescue you and to make you whole and clean, inside and out, to forgive your sins, to remove your guilt, and to give you life. Won't you come to him? Won't you come to him? But you say, I've gone too far. I've sinned too much. How can he forgive what I've done? I've dug my hole too deep. No. There is no stain able to withstand the cleansing power of his precious blood. And he promises you, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks in the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the great comfort that Jesus offers you. Jim looked on Jesus and believed, and now Jim looks on him and lives. I pray that you too will look on him with the eyes of your heart and believe. Trust his promise. Trust Jesus. He is your king and he is your savior. And in him and in him alone, death is undone. And sorrow, which lasts today for our lives, will in the end be borne completely away. You will, in Christ, one day be with those you love in Christ again. Not in some shadowy spirit realm, but on the green grass under the bright rising sun at a feast that will never end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jim. We thank you for those you have made and loved and redeemed. We thank you that he is not dead in spirit, but he lives more than he's ever lived before. We thank you for purchasing him by the blood of your Son, Jesus. And we pray that you might apply that blood to many more, even some here. Lord, we give you glory and we praise you and honor you, and we ask you to comfort those who are sorrowful today and bring consolation to their hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.